Kia ora and welcome to Emirates Podcast, episode 207. Today is Friday, March 26, 2010. Well, the schedule ended up changing one more time. Through a whole series of events, the live podcast today ended up not happening. It all started because the chat room that we've been using in Pride 48 for quite a while now was no longer working. And there was only one person who normally participates who was on Skype at the time that I logged in. And I didn't have any easy way of finding out if anybody else wanted to join the group show. And of course, a group show with two people isn't much of a group show, is it? So I sort of hemmed and hawed. Meanwhile, Daniel Brewer came on and told us about the new IRC chat room that he's using. And we all went over there and chatted for a while. But by this time, it was getting on to be about 1:30 New Zealand time. And I just decided it wasn't worth, you know, starting for half an hour. So I didn't. It ended up, though, that I was trying a couple of different clients, for IRC clients for the Mac, and ended up not finishing up until about, I guess, about quarter after two, which was after the live show would have ended normally anyway. But it happens sometimes. And the whole point about podcasting is that it's supposed to be unlike radio. We don't necessarily have set schedules. We don't have set times. We don't have set formats even necessarily. And that was certainly true in the case of the live show. We just didn't do it. Or I didn't do it, I suppose. So, but it was kind of interesting using this IRC chat. I can't remember the last time I used IRC chat. I mean, I stopped trying to calculate when I ran out of fingers, as I said in the IRC chat room. It's just, it's sort of retro. But the thing about it is that it's not limited to the number of participants as the old one was, among other things. And, of course, you can use any IRC client to take part in the chat. But I'll talk about that more when we start talking more about Pride 48, which I no doubt will very shortly, because it's just now about 3 months away. Technically 3 months from yesterday, my time, but in reality, 3 months from today. So, because there's no live show, today is it until we draw the winner of the competition on Sunday our time, Saturday North American time. And I remind you that the deadline for entries is midnight Friday. What do you call it? Eastern Daylight Time. And that's North American time. You have to send it to me by then, by email or fax it, whatever you want to do, doesn't matter. But that's the deadline for all entries. Anything that doesn't reach me fairly soon before that will not get counted. And I've already started preparing for the draw, and Nigel has graciously agreed to actually conduct the drawing. So it'll be even more unbiased because he has no idea who's entered, and obviously we'll have no, he will not be influenced. Well, today I'm just going to carry on with some more updates and things, partly because it will give me the opportunity to sneak in questions, because we're sort of left hanging, and if I don't do four questions today, you won't be able to have your 20 questions in order to be able to do four different entries. So, one of the things, well, no, before I get into any of that, I saw something interesting in the news today that I just wanted to mention. You may have seen this on one of the major news services, but they've discovered a bone of a Tyrannosaurus rex relative in Australia, along the coast down from Melbourne. And this is significant because they've never found a Tyrannosaurus-type dinosaur in the Southern Hemisphere before. So this is a first. And it's a much smaller one. It was only, about 85 kilograms in weight, which is a bit less than I am. And a fairly small thing. They said it was a fraction of the size. Well, I would think so. It was only 85 kilograms. But, you know, I just thought that was kind of interesting. And speaking of dinosaurs, no, I'm not. I'm just joking. There was a controversy in the news that caught my eye as well. We have a beer brand in New Zealand called Steinlager, and it's actually not that old a beer, despite the name sounding oldie-worldy. It isn't. But it's brewed by a company called Lion Nathan, which is no longer a New Zealand company. In fact, I'm sure it's been delisted from our share market. But it's now owned by Kirin Breweries, I believe it is. At any rate, it's not New Zealand-owned anymore. But it has been one of the biggest breweries in New Zealand for a long, long time. And one of their flagship brands, I suppose, is Steinlager, and they've introduced a new one, a new sub-brand, if you will, called Steinlager Pure, which is it doesn't have preservatives and artificial stuff in it. Well, they started advertising it some years ago, and they bring in these Hollywood actors to promote it. They had Harvey Keitel was the first of the actors, then they had Willem Dafoe. Well, now they've brought in this guy named Vincent Gallo, and I've never heard of him. according to Stuff, and this was reported in the Christchurch Press, because they were, I guess they were involved because they were filming the ad in Queenstown. But he was in an indie film in the 1990s called Buffalo 66, which I've never heard of. But apparently he was famous for offering to sell his sperm on his website for $1 million. Whatever. But the reason this was in the news is because normally an actor can't come to New Zealand and get a work permit just because they want to. There are plenty of out-of-work actors in New Zealand, and one of the criteria for getting a work permit is you have to be able to establish that there's nobody in New Zealand who is available or able to do the job. And obviously there are plenty of actors who could do this job. And when it's a name actor like Harvey Keitel or Willem Dafoe, the actors' union was willing to go along with it, but they say this guy's nobody, and they shouldn't be giving him a work permit when there are out-of-work New Zealand actors. Of course, Lion Nathan doesn't see things that way, and they say, "Whoa, you held up production on this commercial for a day, and that endangered the livelihoods of 50 people working on this." No, whatever. But I can see the point of the union. And as far as the beer goes, I have had Steinlager Pure, and it's all right. It's just a beer. It's not that special. But I do know some people, not to me, but I do know some people who have trouble with beer, either because it makes them feel bloated or unwell or what have you, and they can drink Steinlager Pure. So maybe it's the preservatives or something that they can't quite cope with. I don't know. Now, one of the reasons I keep bringing up New Zealand history online and is because I've been spending a lot of time on it because of this competition. And it's amazing the things you find out. And I was looking at Today in History, as you do, and today is the anniversary of the Brunner Mine disaster. And I'll just read what it says, because I actually think it's interesting. It says, at 9:30 a.m., an explosion was heard from the Brunner Mine in Westland's Grey Valley. Westland is the part of the South Island that is west of the Southern Alps. It's between the Tasman Sea and the Southern Alps. And Grey Valley, Greymouth is at the end of the Grey Valley. It's on the Tasman coast. Anyway, two men were sent to investigate, and they were later found unconscious from black damp, a suffocating mixture of nitrogen and carbon dioxide. By 11 a.m., rescuers began bringing out bodies. Those involved in the rescue very nearly became victims due to the noxious gases and had to be carried out. A total of 65 miners were killed by the choking gas, almost half of Brunner's underground workforce. This remains New Zealand's deadliest industrial accident. The official inquiry determined that the cause was the detonation of a charge in a part of the mine where no one should have been working. Some experienced miners disagreed with the findings. They maintained that fire damp, methane gas produced by coal, had accumulated and had not been cleared due to ineffective ventilation system. Now, one of the reasons I think that's so fascinating isn't just because I'd never heard of it, which I hadn't, but also because they use all these phrases I'd never heard of before. Fire damp. And what was the first one? Black damp. I mean, I'd never heard of any of these things, but I suppose I wouldn't because I'm a miner. But it seemed as not a miner, I mean, in any sense of that word. No matter how you spell the word, I'm not a miner. But anyway, it seems sort of relevant because I was just talking about the mining controversy here in New Zealand yesterday. And then I just ran across this today. But the Brunner Mine disaster was on this day in 1896. So, question 15. When was the Brunner Mine disaster? And the answer is March 26, 1896. Well, there you go. Now, a lot of the things that I have included, little historical tidbits, are things that I think are interesting about New Zealand or the things that I would like people to know or to remember about New Zealand. And that actually relates to the next question, and that is, the question is, and you'll get it right away, so I'll just I'll just read what it says. On 19 September 1893, the governor, Lord Glasgow, signed a new electoral act into law. As a result of this landmark legislation, New Zealand became the first self-governing country in the world to grant all women the right to vote in parliamentary elections. In most other democracies, notably Britain and the United States, women did not win the right to vote until after the First World War. New Zealand's world leadership in women's suffrage became a central part of its image as a trailblazing social laboratory. And they also go on to say that the campaign was led by a woman named Kate Shepherd, and she is immortalized to this very day on the $10 note, which is probably one of the more common bits of currency in New Zealand, apart from coins, because the $5 note is, it doesn't buy as much as it used to, does it? So the question 16 is, when did New Zealand become the first country in the world to grant women the right to vote? And the answer is September 19, 1893. Ooh, you got two in a row. How's that? Another thing that was in the news that caught my eye, is nothing to do with any questions, it just caught my eye, was a story on gaynz.com that was headlined, Pink Shirt Day Will Be Back This April. I'd actually not heard of Pink Shirt Day that I can remember, although when I read the story, I actually remembered the incident that it was based on. But it's a short story, so I'll just read that. Pink Shirt Day will return next month to take a vibrant stand against bullying. New Zealanders are being urged to don pink on April 28 to show that they will not tolerate bullying anywhere. Last year, more than 160,000 Facebook users from across the world backed Pink Shirt Day, which was started by high school students in Canada in 2008 when they stood up for a friend who had been harassed for wearing a pink shirt to school. Local backers say a 2007 study shows that New Zealand has the second highest rate of primary school bullying in over 37 countries, while in another study from the same year shows 6% of students report being bullied at least once a week, which is actually quite a lot, I think. Unlike the U.S., we don't have Christianist organizations trying to stop the combating of bullying. So that's coming up. And no, that is not a question. However, here is one that is. A lot of the things that I've been talking about in these questions have, as I said, been about things that I think are interesting or important about New Zealand. And this one sort of kind of connects things together, because obviously I didn't originate here. I came here from Chicago. So question number 17 is, how far is it from Chicago, Illinois to Auckland, New Zealand? And the answer is 13,180 kilometers. Now that is rounded, and if you have a different figure, that's fine, but it must be expressed in kilometers. We don't do miles in the New Zealands. I had an interruption in the middle of all of that, and I'm actually not quite sure how far along I am in this particular podcast. This might be really short, or it might be really long. I'm not sure. But just to reiterate, there is no podcast that will be posted tomorrow now. And on Sunday, New Zealand time, Saturday, U.S. time, or North American time, Nigel will draw the winner of the competition. And I don't know whether that's going to be done live or I'm just going to record it and post it sometime that day. We're going out for lunch with friends on Sunday. So I'm not sure that we're going to be able to do it live, even if nobody's using the Pride 48 stream. But look at the website, amarinspodcast.com. Look on my Twitter feed. If I'm doing a live show, you'll know about it from there. So the final question in the Amarin's Podcast Anniversary Competition is, what was the population of New Zealand as at Friday, 26 March 2010, at 4:45 p.m.? And the answer is 4,360,640. And that figure comes from Statistics New Zealand, which has a population clock, which tells you the estimated resident population of New Zealand. So question 18, what was the population of New Zealand on Friday, March 26th, 2010 at 4:45 p.m.? The answer is 4,360,640. Now that is it for today, for this week, for this anniversary competition. You have until midnight tomorrow, Eastern Daylight Time, to send your competition entries to me, and I will be compiling them. And then Nigel will draw the winner on Sunday, and of course, we'll also email the winner as well as announce it in the podcast, so that that individual can contact me with their mailing address, and I will send off the Kiwi prize pack sometime next week. And that is it for today and this week. I'll be back on Sunday with the winner of the competition. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.